Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Israel and Iran back away from the brink, but stay in the danger zone. And Tesla recalls more than 3,800 Cybertrucks. Plus, we'll dive into Zimbabwe's complicated history with inflation.
Currencies are basically backstopped by trust, that if you put money in your bank, you can get it. You put a dollar in, you can take a dollar out. If you don't have that trust, like, what's a currency worth?
It's Friday, April 19th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. First, some updates on a story we brought you this morning. Israel retaliated overnight against Iran's massive drone and missile attack on its territory, people familiar with the matter said, with what appeared to be a limited strike aimed at avoiding an escalation cycle that could push the countries closer to war. One of the people said the attack was a targeted strike in the area around Isfahan in central Iran. Iranian state media downplayed the incident. The narrow Israeli attack and Iran's soft rhetoric in response appeared to be an attempt by both sides to calm tensions after more than a week of concerns Israel's war with Hamas in Gaza would grow into a larger regional conflict. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken declined to say whether the U.S. had received advance warning of Israel's strike. He said the U.S. was not involved in any offensive operations. On Capitol Hill, House Speaker Mike Johnson's $95 billion foreign aid and weapons package has cleared a key hurdle. The House voted 316-94 to advance it, with Democrats backing the effort to set up final passage this weekend over the objections of dozens of GOP colleagues. The package is seen as critical to helping Ukraine withstand Russia's invasion and to help rearm Israel amid its recent hostilities with Iran. Tesla is voluntarily recalling 3,878 Cybertrucks to repair or replace faulty accelerator pedals. According to the safety recall report, the truck's accelerator pedal pad might dislodge and get trapped, causing the vehicle to accelerate unintentionally and increasing the risk of a crash. Tesla isn't aware of any crashes, injuries, or deaths associated with the accelerator, according to the U.S. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Tesla didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. The recall is the latest issue for the world's most valuable automaker, which has been suffering from declining sales and a falling stock price. And the Federal Aviation Administration has issued a directive to ensure minimum rest periods for air traffic controllers between their time at the job, requiring a break of at least 10 hours for normal shifts and 12 for overnight shifts. It's a new push to ease fatigue among controllers who orchestrate thousands of flights across the country each day. Aviation safety leaders have been focusing on risks related to air traffic control as part of a broader look at what drove a series of near misses at airports last year. Coming up, Zimbabwe recently launched a new currency. But will it help the country fight extreme inflation? More after the break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For the last two Fridays, we've heard about extreme cases of inflation in both Argentina and Turkey, and how these conditions can change how people live. And today, we're wrapping up with Zimbabwe. A couple weeks ago, we reported that the South African country launched a new currency, the Zimbabwe gold, replacing the Zimbabwe dollar. Here's What's News producer Anthony Bansi with the final piece in our series on extreme inflation.
Zimbabwe has a complicated history with inflation. According to the Zimbabwe National Statistics Agency, the annual inflation rate hit 55.3% in March. But that's not a particularly high number for the African country. Back in 2008, the IMF estimated that the annual inflation rate hit around 500 billion percent. Yes, you heard that right. It got so bad that the central bank started printing $100 trillion bills just to keep up with the price hikes that would happen multiple times a day. Wall Street Journal Africa Bureau Chief Gabrielle Steinhauser says the situation became untenable.
You just can't function with that kind of inflation, right? Prices are changing by the minute. You know, you might get paid, and by the time you get to the grocery store, that loaf of bread is already more expensive than when you, like, walked out the door. So it's just absolutely not manageable for people or businesses.
A year later, in 2009, the country went ahead and abolished the Zimbabwe dollar, and instead began using the U.S. dollar as its official currency. But Gabrielle said that approach had its drawbacks.
It turns out that there are some disadvantages to not being able to manage your own currency. And when you can't print your own currency, it puts you at a huge disadvantage. And the government and the central bank effectively ran out of dollars.
So, after a decade, the Zimbabwe dollar was relaunched as the official currency in 2019. And when the pandemic hit, the country began accepting multiple currencies as legal tender. After such a long time of instability, economic analyst Victor Baroma says Zimbabweans grew distrustful of the central bank and instead turned to the U.S. dollar.
Citizens were tired of losing their savings. They were tired of, trying to keep track of the prices that would go up every minute. And also difficulties in terms of replenishing stock. You have to import to buy. You have to trade with wholesalers, manufacturers. So Zimbabweans in general adopted the United States dollar as a currency of use.
In fact, the U.S. dollar has become such a huge part of the economy that the Zimbabwe National Statistics Agency changed the way it calculates inflation. It uses what's called a blended inflation rate. So it measures the price changes of goods in both U.S. dollars and the local Zimbabwe dollars. And so this long history of stratospheric prices and a revolving door of currency has created a volatile exchange rate, a driving force of Zimbabwe's inflation. Here's Gabrielle.
Currencies are basically backstopped by trust. Ultimately, central banks like the Federal Reserve that if you put money in your bank, you can get it. You know, you put a dollar in, you can take a dollar out. If you don't have that trust, like, what's a currency worth?
And a lack of trust has led people to favoring the dollar over the local money, raising prices. But let's turn to one of the biggest factors driving up prices in Zimbabwe. Gabrielle says a big culprit is government spending.
The Zimbabwean government is just spending more money than it's raising through taxes and other income. They're building a lot of roads, for instance, which they need to pay the materials and the companies for. And for the last decade and a half plus, the way the government has dealt with its lack of funds is to tell the central bank to just print more money. And if you print ever more bills, but the underlying value of your economy doesn't increase in tandem, then that money will be seen as less valuable, and everybody who has anything to sell will adjust their prices accordingly.
And this kind of uncertainty, climbing inflation and a free-falling currency, have created a tough environment for anyone looking for work. Like 27-year-old Kudzai Mukundomi, who has a passion for making cooking tutorials on TikTok that he often sets to vibrant music. Last year, he graduated from Africa University in Mutare, Zimbabwe. Some months after he graduated, a friend helped him land a contracted position doing clerical work at a local non-governmental organization, or an NGO. They paid him with U.S. money, but it still wasn't a lot.
In Zimbabwe, you just have to make it work. That's the honest truth. So last year, I was getting $200 a month. which was like on the contract was actually written $10 per day. That's the money you're getting for working 8 hours per day. $10 for 8 hours. It was too little. You couldn't make it work. You can't save. You can't do anything.
To help get a better idea of what the $200 a month could get him, Kudzai painted a picture of what his cost would be in Zimbabwe's capital city, Harare.
Imagine you're in the city, right? You're getting $200. If you're renting maybe in the high density areas, you're not getting an apartment. One room, you're talking about something like $60, $60, $70. You need transport money. So you're budgeting $2 for transport every day. So for maybe 25 days or 20 days per month, you're talking about $40 transport money. Now you've spent $100 already per month.
And that's not counting the cost of food and other basic necessities. Kudzai's job at the NGO is considered a formal job, the sort where you work a 9-to-5 and get a paycheck for your time. But the majority of workers in the Zimbabwean economy are self-employed. After a few months, Kudzai's contract with the nonprofit wasn't renewed. While he was applying for jobs, he saw an opportunity to turn something he was already doing into a hustle. He began working as a content creator, pushing out more of his cooking tutorials on TikTok and Instagram.
I was just hoping, like, maybe if I get something out of, like, social media and all that, if I just get something that is a bit better than what I was earning, that would do for me.
After some time, he was able to get a sponsorship from a beverage company. And now?
What I made in 3 or 4 months at the NGO is what I'm making in a month with the current deal.
But Zimbabwe isn't exactly the easiest place to get brand deals. And much like we covered in Argentina a couple weeks ago, young people in Zimbabwe are looking to leave to pursue their dreams. But Kudzai says with the extreme inflation and a declining currency, it's hard to do. The governor of its central bank says it's backing its new currency, the Zimbabwe gold, or ZiG, with Zimbabwe's reserves of US dollars, gold, and other precious metals. And he's also pledged to end the central bank's long-standing history of printing money to fix budget deficits. Will Zimbabwe's plan to try to control high inflation with its gold-backed currency tame doubts over its credibility and ability to solve fundamental issues? Gabrielle says it remains to be seen.
Because of this history of printing money and having an unstable currency, there's just no trust in the government and in the central bank to create a stable currency, and then it becomes almost this sort of self-fulfilling prophecy. And the government also keeps doing the same thing, even though they say that they won't anymore.
We reached out to the International Monetary Fund, and a spokesman told me the IMF, quote, stands ready to support the authorities' efforts to restore macroeconomic stability. But they noted more time is needed to review the design and implications for Zimbabwe gold.
And that's a wrap on Extreme World Inflation from A to Z. The series was hosted and produced by Anthony Bansi. And that's What's News for this week. Today's show was produced by Pierre Bien-Aimé and Anthony Bansi. What's News is hosted by me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Luke Vargas. Additional support this week from Charlotte Gartenberg. Michael Laval wrote our theme music. Our supervising producers are Sandra Kilhoff and Michael Kosmidis. Aisha Al-Muslim is our development producer. Scott Salloway and Chris Sinsley are our deputy editors. And Falana Patterson is The Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. Tomorrow, you can look out for our weekly markets wrap-up, What's News in Markets. Then on Sunday, we'll be answering your questions about electric vehicles, some of the big auto companies behind them like Tesla, and the future of the market in What's News Sunday. We'll be back with our regular show on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.